Please open up to Psalm 42. And I have the English Standard Version of the Bible. This is one of my this is my favorite psalm. And I'm going to read it to you in your entirety. It may seem a little bit obscure for the task that we have at hand today. But hopefully, as time progresses in the sermon, it'll make more sense. And excuse me with my fidgeting of this Britney Spears microphone, because, again, I'm a product of the black church, and we have the big pulpit that you step up into, and then the handheld mic. So, but this is God's word. Please listen carefully. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" I remember as I pour out my soul. I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Before I move along, I meant to mention this in the last gathering. This is beautiful poetic language that we have right in our very own scriptures. This is beautiful art. This psalmist is pouring out his heart to God. I thought I'd make mention of that because we should appreciate God's word for its beauty. So my name is Amos Williams, as has already been said, and I am the campus ministry associate for Reformed University Fellowship at Alabama A&M University. And there we go. I think we got it now. And man, what a privilege it is to have the opportunity to serve God, to serve his people, doing campus ministry. Also, I do want to thank you all for your generosity in helping us to do gospel ministry at Alabama A&M University. Without your generosity and without your faithfulness, we likely wouldn't be able to do what we are doing at Alabama A&M. And so just know that you all are a part of something that glorifies God, and God is, in fact, building his church in Huntsville, Alabama, by your generosity through your prayers and through your financial contributions as well. Over the past year, we all have become acquainted with suffering. There is a little bug that none of us can see that has turned the world upside down. And the reality is that we all are becoming more aware of what I'd like to call, or what I like to call, the fundamental human problem, which is our mortality. We're all becoming more and more aware of our weakness, of our vulnerability. And we're all becoming more acquainted with suffering. Now, our psalmist here is pouring out his heart to God, because he finds himself in a moment of suffering. As I mentioned in the last gathering, we don't know exactly who this psalmist is. But we can see that he's fallen on hard times. In May of 2020, right in the middle of a global pandemic, I was given a call by a guy named Britton. Now, Britton is the area coordinator for Reformed University Fellowship for the Southeast. And Britton asked, he called and asked, "Hey brother, I have a vacancy, a ministry vacancy at Alabama University." And as you all know, this vacancy, we've been praying collectively for this vacancy to be filled. Now, a little bit of backstory to brought us to that point. Now, I am a former Alabama A&M University student. Back in 2011, Roy Hubbard became the campus minister at Alabama A&M. And I was Roy's first RUF student. And now, God just has a way of working things out providentially that it defies logic sometimes. It seems, you know, maybe spooky isn't the right word, but that's what I'm going to go with. Sometimes it can seem quite spooky, right? And so, in 2016, Roy Hubbard, the former campus minister at Alabama A&M, accepted a call to be an assistant pastor up in St. Louis, and left that vacancy until June of 2020, in which the Lord called me to say yes. Now, as I mentioned in the in the first gathering, and I want to be a little bit more candid with y'all, because I've gone through one service, and now I want to be, you know, I had no interest. I didn't say that the last time, but I want to be candid with you. I had zero interest in going back to Alabama A&M because, and I won't go into detail, because at Alabama A&M, initially, up until about my junior year, I was not a believer, and I know that my professors and the staff remembered me from that time. And here is the Lord calling me to go back into an environment where people knew me at a different time in my life. And so it was a situation kind of where the Lord drug me, kicking and screaming. But ultimately, I submitted, as you will when the Lord calls you. Because, you know, kind of when he does his thing, it's pretty much going to be done, right? Amen. Ah, there it is. But I accepted the call, again, in the midst of a global pandemic, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of people dealing with pain, in the midst of unsurety, in the midst of turmoil. Similar situation to our psalmist here. Our psalmist, he pours out his heart to God, and he mentions that as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. In verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Now, some of us have experienced this even before March of 2020. We've experienced the ebb and flows of the highs and lows of life. And our psalmist shows us how the highs and lows, how the joys and the experience of suffering happen in life. Because just after he pours out his heart to God in verse 4, he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. And so the psalmist, in the midst of his suffering, he remembers the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Now, prayer life, I always quote regularly in my prayer life from Exodus 34. In Exodus 34, Yahweh introduces himself as a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And here, the psalmist is reminding himself of the steadfast faithfulness of God. I want to share a story with you. Excuse me. I held it together in the first service, so hopefully I will be able to do the same. So, back in 2016, I lost my mom. She passed away from complications with diabetes. And, all right, I'm good. With the complications that she had from her diabetes, it was hard for me to remember good times that I had with my mom. She had been sick for a long time. An example. A week before I was married, I married my wife Jessica in March of 2013. And I wish I could have met my mom, because she was a strong woman of faith and a very just generally a strong woman. But a week before I got married, my mom suffered a stroke. And that began the decline of her health. But here's an example of her strength. She checked herself out of the hospital, so that she could be at my wedding. She said she wasn't going to miss seeing her boy, her only boy, you know, join in the covenant of marriage. And so her health started to decline, and in 2016, she passed away. And it was hard for me to remember the good times. All I could remember was the wheelchair, the beeping of machines, driving her back and forth to dialysis. And one night after she passed away, I was laying in bed with my wife, and I just started, you know, crying out to God. I started pouring out my heart to God and just telling God, like, God, I don't remember my mom. I don't know if it's a mental, like a psychological thing that is happening with me, but God, give me something. And it was as if in that moment, all of the memories of my mom started to flood back into my memory banks, and I remembered the way that my mom discipled me, and how she showed me how to highlight significant passages that stood out to me in the Bible. I remembered the macaroni and cheese and the fried chicken and the cornbread and the collard greens. And I just kind of made myself a little hungry thinking about it. I remembered the way that she would rub my head to put me to sleep. And our psalmist here is doing something similar. In a time of suffering, in a time of difficulty, he's remembering the goodness and the steadfast love of God. And when I took the ministry opportunity at Alabama A&M, we didn't know at that time that the pandemic was going to be as bad as it has been. Y'all remember 2 weeks to stop the spread? You know, like, wow. Yeah, right. But I took the position thinking, like, I'm going to go in and kill it because I got skills, I got talent. And y'all can see I got a Lakers hat on. I am a Kobe Bryant fan. And if you know anything about Kobe, he exudes confidence. He exuded confidence. And so I went into ministry, not necessarily naive, but excited, and with the hopes of doing something great. Like, I'm going to have a 150-person large group by my second semester. You know, we're going to see revival happen on this campus. Oh, but the reality has been humbling, so much to the point that all of the people who do campus ministry, who are considered non-essential to the campus, were told, you cannot be here on this campus. And I asked God, you know, like, how am I going to reestablish a ministry if I cannot have access to the campus? And there's just, God is amazing. And I was sharing with her in the back that oftentimes when we are prideful and when we do things on our own strength, God will strip things away from us so that he can get his glory.
Amen.
Amen. And so that we can only say that this was by the grace of God. And so I struggled with thinking, like, man, how am I gonna meet students if I can't be on the campus? And out of the blue, I started receiving phone calls from people, literally from around the country, who would say things like, hey, I'm sending a student to Alabama A&M. here's his contact information. You should reach out to him or her. Would have literally had no other means to meet students at Alabama A&M. But through those means, I've been able to meet other students and to establish a very healthy rhythm with a group of freshmen. And the Lord is faithfully adding to his church, and the Lord is faithfully sending students even in the midst of suffering. So the Lord is providing a silver lining of sorts, even in the midst of suffering. And our psalmist here, he shows us to resolve in our hope in God. Even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of pain, because, again, we don't know who this psalmist is. We don't know what brought about his suffering. And quite frankly, we don't even know that his situation changed at all. But in verse 7, he resolved to put his hope and his trust in God. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And my brothers and sisters, that is my encouragement to all of us today. As I do campus ministry and as I look forward to church planting, you all live through your daily lives in the marketplace and in school. Resolve to hope in God. Because the pandemic is not the only way that some of us are suffering. I don't know what all of you all's situations are, but the fall finds ways to fall on us in differing ways. What I mean by that is that the effects of sin find creative ways to impact our lives. But we do have a great hope that our great high priest is not removed from our suffering. He's acquainted with suffering. No other faith, no other would-be religion can say that their God goes through the suffering with them. But our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, took on flesh. In a sense, he left majesty and glory in order to take on flesh and to be a man. And he is Emmanuel. He dwelt among us. And the sin, the shame, the guilt that is ours to bear, that was ours to bear, he took that upon himself. So our Lord, our God, is moved from suffering. He suffers with us. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the struggles of doing campus ministry during a pandemic, the struggles in your marriage, struggles with school, struggles in the marketplace, the Lord Jesus struggles through those things with us. And if the Lord Jesus can raise himself from the dead, there is nothing that is impossible for him. And so he never promised us that we would suffer, but he has promised us that he will suffer right there along with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the great, holy, holy, holy God. We give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who grows your church. And we thank you that you've given us all your spirit. And Lord, I pray that if anyone is here who is just marginally a Christian, I pray that you would begin a true work of regeneration in their heart, that they would know that you, Jesus, who is truly God and is truly man, you died for the church, for a place in your kingdom. I pray that they would begin to believe that, and that even us, even we who consider ourselves mature in the faith, that we would never grow past the gospel. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise, glory, and honor. It is in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Just ask Amos to stay up here for a question or two. I want to speak on behalf of our church family here and just thank you for representing us in a sense and many other people who support RUF work at Alabama A&M. So thank you so much. The Holy Spirit affirms, I'm sure, Amos, but he calls the church to encourage. And so we hope that today, as much as you've traveled down this morning and are serving us, we hope that you're returning with a bit of encouragement, knowing that this simple church in Helena is fully behind you and consider ourselves partners with you in ministry. So we support many campus ministries, campus outreach at a number of places, RUF. We find that the campus is one of a few frontline-type ministry areas in our country. You knowing Alabama A&M, you being a student there and now a campus minister, what would you say is the biggest hindrance or roadblock for an Alabama A&M student to follow Jesus, to come to know Christ and to follow him? What are some of the kind of major roadblocks that we can be aware of there?
Okay, cool. Good thing is he asked me this question in the first gathering. In the first gathering, I didn't have the question beforehand. So I just popped it on you,
yeah, but you handled it well.
Man, that's so gracious. But no, the biggest challenge to campus ministry. So Alabama A&M is a HBCU, and that acronym stands for Historically Black College or University. And so 99.99. I said last time, I'll throw an 8 in there. 99.998% of A&M's campus is African American. And so I preface that with, again, the biggest challenge to doing ministry on a historically black campus is the resurgence of black nationalism, which affirms the dignity of black people outside or without without the affirmation of intrinsic dignity from God. So the dignity is that it's found in your blackness, which causes a lot of students to say Christianity is the white man's religion, so we're going to reject it because it has no place in our culture.
How do you particularly, I mean, you're at the coalface in a sense, you're having those conversations. How do you, I'm sure that's a sensitive, fairly sensitive, and I guess that certain areas of our culture are kind of a volatile conversation. How do you navigate through that towards the gospel?
So I spend a lot of time talking about the image of God, Imago Dei, and affirming that in my students and other people on the campus, generally speaking. The other way, and like I said, I want to be tactful in the way that I say this, is by demonstrating the fact that there aren't a whole lot of people of European descent in the Bible. and so the Word of God, the God's law, was given to people of color. They weren't African American or of African descent, and they weren't European either. They were, you know, Middle Eastern people. But that goes sharply against the narrative that this is a white man's religion. So a lot of biblical and historical theology is helpful. And lastly, it's just trusting again that the Spirit of God is at work in the lives of His people, that God is calling His elect, and He's gonna save His church. He's
Amen.
Gonna do that. Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Amos, for being with us. Amos made his way up this morning. He has a meeting at 2:00, but we're going to try to delay him as much as possible with many people coming up and thanking you. And again, I would just ask that you would do that. Greet one another as you leave, but of course come and make Amos late for his 2 p.m. time. So you wouldn't mind, that's right. So how do we support Amos and these other places and partners? It's through Faith Promise.